So I want to talk about Pasuk Perek Lamed Pasuk Yud Aleph. We really need to say it in context. And see some of the thoughts beforehand. So the Pasuk Yud Aleph is Kemitz Zoyis Asher Anochim Etzavach Hayom Lo Nifleisim Im Chavol Erechakehi. So this mitzvah, which I'm commanding you today, is not Nifleisim Im Chavol Erechakehi. So Nifleis, as she says. Keep in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim and keep olim imcho the world of mishpat. It says a lashon of kisui, it's mechuse, it's like covered over, so it's mufresh from you. It's distinct from you. It's separated from you. So the mitzvah is not niflesi. It's not something which is you find it that it's you can't relate to it. Lo rechoki is not far away. Lo b'shemayim he. Not in Shemayim. It's not Me'ever L'Yam. Rather, Kikar B'lechol Dabar Mord V'Pichol V'Lov Chalasser. Rather, it's very close to you. So what is this mitzvah referring to? So the Ramban sees it, it's referring to the mitzvah of Tshuva, which looking at the Pesukim beforehand. So the Pasuk says beforehand, starting from the beginning of Kapitel Lamed, that there's going to be that you're going to go into the Godless, wherever you go, Bresh will take you back, Bresh will bring you back to the Oritz. So Bresh will bring you back, and Bresh will then take away your Tipshus Liba, this misunderstanding that you have. Bresham will give the clothes unto the other nations. Batosa shuv, v'shamata b'kal Hashem, you'll do tshuva, and you will listen to Kodesh Baruch Hu's voice, you'll do all the mitzvahs, and because that's what's going to happen. So this pasuk, the Bresham is telling us the future, and that there's going to come a time when the Klal Yisrael will do tshuva, and the Bresham will help facilitate the tshuva, we will do tshuva, and we will come back. And then it says, Ki mitzvah zois, referring back to the mitzvah of tshuva. Okay. Rashi, on the other hand, and Pasuk Yudalit, find the page. Rashi is like Torah nitnu lachem b'ksav b'bal peh. So this mitzvah, it's not distinct from you, it's not separated from you, it's not far away from you, it's not in the heavens, it's not a mir l'yam, but rather it's close to you. Rashi says on that, this referring to the Torah. So the ke mitzvah zois is a phrase meaning not a individual mitzvah, but the taryag mitzvahs. Okay. So the Ramban on the Pasuk, Vatam Kiemitza Zois, a Kol Torah Kula. He says the first part is it's referring to Kiemitza Zois, meaning the command of a Kodesh Boruch. Vahnochan, however, so the Ramban on Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kiakol Torah Kula Yamar, really, if it's referring to the whole Torah, Kol Mitzvah Sharnach Mitzvah Vachayim, what is Hamitza Zois? So if it's referring to the whole Torah, which is the way Rashi is learning, so it should have said Kol HaMitzvah. What's HaMitzvah Zois? Al Tshuva HaNizkar, it's referring back to the Pasuk of Tshuva. Ki Be'ev HaShivus El Lovavecho, B'Shav Tad HaShem L'Kecho, Mitzvah Shiyitzavo Yisun Olas V'Zkein. So even though the Pesukim before, the Pasuk, really the page which we had before, the page before the page that we had before, it says you will do Tshuva, it doesn't mean only that you will do tshuva, it means that you should do tshuva. That's what's saying over here. Remember, Lashon Habenani, L'Rama is Habavtoch, Yasa Zabar Lius Kain. So the language before wasn't the language of a command, it was the language of just like this powerful language to tell you that the Rosh was promising us that we will do tshuva. But it also is the mitzvah of the tshuva, and that's what we're referring to right now. Mm-hmm. And now, v'hatam, again, the card of the Rishonim, when they use Lashon Tam, it means the way to understand it. It doesn't mean the reason. Leimar, it means like this. So the understanding of the psukim is, ki im yevin dachu b'ksei ha-shamayim, b'tobi ha-ramim, even though you're amongst the nations, you can do it anywhere you are, even though you're sent to the most distant lands. It's possible to do tshuva. Okay. Okay, so take a look. So the Sapurna flows along the lines of the Ramban. It's referring to Tshuva. Okay. And he adds the Kenech over here again, this idea of the fact that you can do it even though you're in Galus. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kemitza Zois. But Tom, the understanding is, it's on page 575. That helps him.
That's the Gid Aleph. That's not the number?
No. This is the Sefer, which is the, this is a PDF page or an OCR page of the page. That's what's actually in the Sefer. But the computerized version of it has this as page 575 as opposed to 571.
I'm with you. Oh, okay. I didn't have any idea. Thank you.
You might look even you look on the first one. Right, that's the same thing. Right, the first page is
right. I see
the number on top.
Right, and the bottom is six or seven. So.
It's they're not the same. It's not the English. Where is my first? Wherever it is.
Okay.
So. Shemarti v'shemayis l'avecha b'chol agoyim asher shachuba shachuba tiba oitcha b'golus manti v'asha. So the tshuva will take place while you're in the Golus, and then that's what's going to bring you back. So it's not going to, you're going to come back and do tshuva, but you do tshuva, and that's why you come back. So the first step is, the first step of tshuva is recognizing that you've done something wrong. That's not the possible. So, vidui is the recognition you've done something wrong. And, okay. So, the person has to come to recognition that he's done something wrong. And that's the first step of tshuva. It's not something which is this hidden Torah that you need. This divinely inspired individual to come and bring that reveal you to the secrets of Kabbalah to tell you that you're doing something wrong. And you don't. It's not this distant thing that you have to travel to find the wise man who's going to tell you what to do. When you're, I feel like with Golas, you're way there in the Golas, and who's only where you are. So how am I supposed to? How am I supposed to know? I'm living in Russia. Under the communist regime, there's no rabbis to teach me what to do. So how can I do tshuva? I don't know what to do. Right? I don't realize I'm doing anything wrong. No. So then he continues. He means you'd have to get a person who can bring down the word of God from heaven to tell you. You don't know. It's not b'shamayim. You don't need a navi to tell it to you. And then he continues and he says. You don't need the Chachma Dor, which is way distant to tell you what it means either. But therefore, she now, well, they're there in Eretz Yisrael, and you're way b'chutz l'oretz. You can't argue that we don't know what to do, because that's how he understands the flow of the psukim. So I just had this hargosh of a to tie it into this. There's a piece that Rav Dessler says, I also saw Rav Shach in one of his letters says this. I think I mentioned to you once. So he says that the Chazal say that Amor of the Oretz, that our Kadosh Baruch Hu says Amor of the Oretz, Allah Zumas to receive. So the Moran Adorim says the Dorim is the initial Levim. They asked the Levim, why did we lose land? Well, for sure they couldn't explain it. The Chabim, well, I'm pretty sure the Chabim couldn't explain it. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu explained it to himself. Allah Zumas to receive Shalom Baruch Hu Matar Tchila. Okay, that's the Gemara. So let's play this out. So what does it mean? That whatever they were doing wrong wasn't obvious. It was so the box of the so it means that they learned Torah. They did it. They did everything. They had some errors, but there wasn't anything which was all in now until they reached the point that they should leave. They should lose Eretz Yisrael. But therefore, the Chachamim couldn't explain what was wrong. They didn't say anything wrong. The Nevi'im couldn't say anything wrong. They didn't say anything wrong. But he says that their attitudes were such that they didn't understand they didn't say Berachos HaTorah. They didn't understand that this value opportunity to learn, to appreciate what they had, and therefore give a bracha to Kadosh Baruch Hu for that opportunity. That's all about, I'm paraphrasing the Bach, that's what he said. So Rav Shach said, so let's understand this. Whatever this issue was, it was so not obvious that the Chacham and Levim were not aware of it. So the person comes along and says, it's Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure what to do, I go to the Navi. The Ramban says one place, the purpose of a Navi was the Navi would explain to you what your role in life is and what you need to do, etc. So I go to the Navi, do you see anything wrong with me? He says, no. Stamp of approval. Navi says, you're fine. Okay? I go to the Chacham, also fine. The whole of the Russian throws me out of it, so I said, what is wrong? If I asked the Navi, he didn't say anything wrong. He asked, what do you want from me? If they couldn't figure it out, why should I figure it out? So how can I get punished if I have no idea what I did wrong? If the Navi didn't know what's wrong with it, and the Chacham didn't know what's wrong with it, why should little old me know what's wrong with it?
Why would the Chacham know more than the Navi does?
You see from the Gemara, the Moraz Masha in certain places, that the Kayach of Chachma the Gemara says that the Navi could not see Elam Habo, but the Chacham could. So he says, what are we forced to say? The Moraz telling me that there's possible something that the Navi can't know and the Chacham can't know, but the person himself could know. If he really wants to know the truth, he'll find it inside of himself. Even though the Navi can't see it. I just give Shmuel Navi, Shmuel Shakel Mershonar, he's set to anoint the Melech. So comes in Eliyahu, the first son, and he says, "This must be the Melech. He looks perfect." The Navi would, all right, the merchant says, "You're wrong. What's your wrong? There's something that there's something wrong inside of him." Because I'll say that at this point there's nothing wrong with him. 3 months later, he got angry one time. Right, but Shmuel couldn't see that, but Eliyahu, if he really had been soul searching, maybe he was. And he was he could recognize that deep down inside of himself there's a problem that he's addressed. The Navi doesn't see it, but he could see it. That's the Haftacha. So he's saying, the Haftacha Tshuva, the Sepurna says, is such that you're not going to need a Navi for this, you're not going to need a Chacham for this. It's not something you have to bring down from the heavens, it's inside of you. You're going to figure it out. Even though you're in the deepest, the darkest parts of Russia, in the middle of the communist regime, in the darkest moments of the communist regime, there's a Jew who can do tshuva. And that's what happened. It's a plea, right? The person who started the tshuva movement. Then there were yidden who stayed from, you know, generations. You have the story with the Rabbi Yitzchak Zilber. There was people who had stayed from, which that itself is a mind-boggling accomplishment. But the person did tshuva. The person who started the father of the there was Aurelio Esses. You know, he's a mathematical student, and he was in the Moscow library. He found the copy in Russian. He found the copy of the Old Testament. Started reading it. He said, "There's chokhmah here. I want to know more about it." Next, eventually, he became frum, and he started teaching Torah to others. Out of nowhere. He had no rabbi. He had no nothing, and he said, "This is not where it's supposed to be." So that's the talking that this Purna is saying. That's how they touch it. Now, so he really answers the question, because according to Rashi, if you look at the Pesukim, if I can find it here, it's referring to the Torah. Okay, so the Torah, you should know that Torah is not this thing which is impossible. It's inaccessible. Okay. It's not something which is impossible to get. It's like hidden over. Because if the Bishamayim, you'd have to go up to Shemayim to get it, bring it down to learn it. It's not Mevra Layam, so it's not across the seas. You have to travel across the seas to get it. So we understand, you know, that the point we're saying that our first look at we first look at Torah and said this is impossible. I can't learn Torah. Take a person and tell them, okay, you know, here, no training, no nothing, just learn Shas. Like, really? Right? You know, I have people who've been, you know, grappling with for years. Right? So that's what I would say. It's Shemayim, it's the person says, no. That Betzim, it can be found, it can be done. According to the Ramban, the different tshuva, so what's this nakuda of lo b'shamayim hi, lo b'yam v'layam hi? Like, what are you connecting tshuva? So, okay, you do tshuva, so, okay? You know, you have to go to the shamayim to get tshuva. What the words mean? You have to go to b'yam v'layam. No, don't worry, you don't have to go to shamayim to get tshuva. Like, of course not. What does tshuva do with shamayim? So according to the Sapurna, we have the answer. The point over here at shamayim means that it's to understand what you need to correct and how to correct it and what the issue is. And what you're doing wrong, you don't need to go to Shemayim. That means you don't need to go to the person who brings down the heavenly voice, the Navi, or the etc. The Kler Yocher says a different kanach. So the Kler Yocher on page 576. Okay, he brings both pshatim. He welcomes me to the parsha Zubah Shnei Drachim. This parsha can be understood like Rashi or like the Ramban. Either it's referring back to the parsha, the mitzvah of Torah, or it's referring to, or it's referring to tshuva. So now he says that first he says that the first approach is referring to mitzvah of Torah. And he has his pshat, but then on page 577, he said, and the second column, Derech Hasheni Hui, Marmers came into Zoyz Medaber B'Tshuva, she's going to prepare Shemal. Let's go back on Shuva. Balea Omer Lo Yiflesi Mimcha. Kilchal, he's not as learmer, Kilo Yadat, as Kadosh Baruch Hu Makal B'Tshuva Sechaitim. So it's distinguished, it's, you know, it's like hidden from you. Like, the idea of Shuva is a hidden. I don't know if that tshuva works. Why? Can I tell you that? You know, tshuva yosim mikol umos. Ki yisrael b'tshuva kadem le'adam. Moreh says it, but the things which were created before the world, one of them was yisrael, one of them was tshuva. So whatever that means, klal yisrael is tied to the concept of tshuva. Okay, because shabar Hashem tshuva, shama yisrael gamata. The moment the person created this concept of tshuva, klal yisrael was there already. He So you can't say this is something which is hidden from you. You this is rooted in the Ma'aseh Bereishis is rooted in the concept of tshuva. The Ma'aseh Bereishis is rooted in the concept of the Klai. So we're there at the roots of the Bria. Okay. Okay, so that's that. Therefore, means l'kilo b'shemayim. Leimar mi al l'no b'shemayim yichachel dam. Leimar shalbikas Hashem meyodenu remois chatzirav ish koyte rab meri. Mi al l'shemayim lishal espi Hashem imikabel oisano elav b'tshuva. Kisad is that kara galul l'cho. I have to go ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Does tshuva work? No, I don't have to ask. I know that already. Okay, one shot. I call Masha on Aaron Lamala, Mashalta Hashem Lakecha. Mutar Ima Bunasai Hitu Ailet, I caught across this. Shilistaka Shkina Mitaktoinim, also the Mordom, because I'll say that the Shkina left its presence here and went up to Shemayim. Can a Nia Shube love? Wuhulo Yoshube lie? Can he grab the Arichuk Zet? So, okay, so I got to go back to him. But he's up there. So how do I get there? The Shkin used to be here. So, the president of Kodesh Baruch Hu used to be here whatever, we'll try and explain that in a second. So, yeah, so do Shubha, you go to Beis HaMikdash. The president is there. I walk in the HaMikdash, I'm there with his presence. I'm back with him. But now that Bershom, as it were, because I'll say that when Kleisel started doing Chatoyim, the Shkin left this world and went back up to Shemayim, so I got to go back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I gotta go up to Shemayim. How do you go up to Shemayim? When you can play a das, bein I ono elech l'rucha yisbar. So where am I gonna go? I said, Omar lo niflesi mimcha, afilu mimcha lo nifla inyan tshuva ad Hashem, ve'etot tzarech la'alos l'shemayim elav yisbarach, ki im kasher ato hechinois es libcha l'shuva elav yisbarach, also yisbarach yachsu v'yashuva elecha, l'harit shkinos l'yisbarach elecha. When you desire you want to return, the Russian will come back to you. So you don't have to go to Shemayim to get meet him. He'll come down here to join you. Okay. What? Nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
Now, what does it mean? Okay. So I'm going to tell you this really, you know, because I'll say that during Sefer Meshuvah, Karuhu B'yasei Karayv, it's call out to Kodesh Baruch Hu when he's close. It's referring to the Sefer Meshuvah. Hashem is closer. So I remember when I was younger, I understand the words. What does it mean? And how? In what way is he closer? Like, does it mean we have, like, you know, we have dreams of heavenly visions? Like, what does it mean? What's supposed to happen? So I got a little bit older, and I realized that. Especially what they started saying Shmuzin. You know, there's greater attendance to Shmuzin during Elul and the Sefer Shmuzin than there is the rest of the year.
What's
that Shmuzin? Shmuzin, right. You ever notice that?
No.
Okay.
I have.
Okay, so I have.
Sorry.
Especially because I give the Moshe Shmuzin. I see how people are there, you know. And so it tells also, like, you know, So what's the pshat? So it's partially it's conditioning. You know, we're trained that during Eliyahu the Tshuva, right? You have to learn Musar, etc. And partially because you see people really want to do this time of year, people really think about doing better. Where did they come from? They came because Kodesh Baruch Hu makes himself closer. So when he comes closer, the Neshama sees the Kodesh Baruch Hu and wants to connect to him. The rest of the year, the Russian steps away. I mean, Motzim Kippur, we blow the shofar as a siman for Sila Shkina. The Shkina is left. It goes up, and for some reason or other, like 3 days later, you don't feel the same as you felt during the Sefer Meshuvah. Like, what happened? The Shkina left. Now imagine what the Shkina was actually here, but Tatarnim. So, on a Stam Tuesday in Shvat, you have the same hargosha of being close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, wanting to get closer to him, as you have on Yom Kippur. That's what I mean, the Shekhinah was with HaTorah. His presence was here. The person's presence is here. We don't physically see him. But our neshamas, our minds, our being relates to the person's presence more, and therefore we feel a desire to connect. And we don't normally feel a desire to connect the whole year. So the person says, listen, yeah, you're going to have to start the process, but as soon as you do that, I will come to you. And you find the person has a hero tshuva, and he starts the process, he does get that hargosha of feeling closer to his Baruch, and he wants to connect more. And the process breeds itself and feeds itself. So that's maybe what he means, that nakuda. Then he says, which is a little more... should I put that page in? Did I put the page in? I did. So if you want to look at it, you can look at it. The Ramban says at the end of this approach, Ramban. Okay, page 578. So according to the Pshat referring to Tshuva, that Pshat Beficha Levavcha LaSoysoy. So what's Beficha Levavcha? She's Vados Avonom is Avonam Besom Befihem. So that's Beficha. It's referring to Tshuva. So Tshuva requires Piv Vidui. And that's the pshat. So, is referring to vidui. Levavcha is referring to the emotion of the heart of coming close to back to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Ramban teaches the psukim. I put a version over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it here? Yeah. So Rashi learns it referring to Torah. The first goes with that approach also. In the foregoing, page Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kemitzah Zeis, the fulfilling of the divine Torah transmitted to us through Moses is pronounced as the permanent sole basis of our destiny at any time, and of all our hopes for the future, and the assurance is at the same time given that in spite of all the changes of fate, it will never be lost to us, or we to it, but that ultimately we will return to it with all our heart and all our soul. That's the Pesukim before. The Pesukim talk about the fact that the Klal Yisrael is defined by Torah. That's the sole definition of Klal Yisrael. And wherever we are, wherever we go, the Bereshit promises at some point in time we will be able to come back to the world of Torah. As a reason for this confidence, okay, so why are we so sure that's going to happen? The real meaning of the contents of this Torah, which has been traditionally handed down to us, is pointed out as being so near and so understandable to the human intellect. How can you be confident that we are sure going to go back to it? Because it makes sense. It's not like, you know, that you'd have this religion, but the religion is about saying some understandable words, right, for hours and hours and hours and hours, and then just say the words. That's the religion. Like, you know, like, I'm supposed to figure that myself. I'm supposed to figure that out. But it says, no. The mitzvah zois, the commands that I give you, they're not something which is beyond the person to understand. The person can understand them. It says no secret metaphysical references to anything beyond the grasp of your ordinary human mind. It's not far away from you. To understand it and keep it does not assume anything but the ordinary conditions of life of those who are in duty bound to observe it. You're not asked to do something with a superhuman, right? You're asked to live. The parameters of mitzvahs take place in daily life, in normal life. So it's not something which is. So then it continues. Says Lo b'shamayim he. the teachings and actions which it has in view do not move in the sphere of the supernatural or the heavens. Nothing which is necessary for it being understood and accomplished remained in heaven in the divine relation. It's not like left behind. The Rishon explained, okay? You could have said, where can we find a mind superhumanly enlightened? We need this, like, you know, Navi, who has the direct line to the heavenly divisions to give us the mitzvahs. The Rishon gave it already. He didn't leave anything behind. And when he gave already, he gave it in a way that we understand it. Okay, the teaching of the actions which it has in view are not referring to somewhere else on the world, earth, far away from you, for conditions other than yours. That you could say, the Torah might be quite all right for other parts of the world, where the climate and conditions of life are quite different to those where I live, which they're like over the oceans, and I understand over there, the place that they live, and those, they have a type of lifestyle, which the mitzvahs make sense. But my lifestyle, where I live, it's not possible. That's not true. For what the Torah is about, its contents lie right next to you. What it is about is you yourself, and its contents concern your own life here on this earth. To understand them, you have only to delve down into your innermost self and to look at your material human conditions with open eyes. Right. So that's a fascinating thing. You know, this is, you know, was one point which Hirsch spent a lot of time on. You know, this idea that the mitzvahs are not something which is unintelligible to man. So Rosh could have made, I mean, the human being comes along and says, I understand the divine intellect. Like, what does that mean? How could a human being understand the divine intellect? So, but that being said, we find a fascinating thing when we learn Torah. We learn Torah, and you find... The Mor says, well, based on Svar, this is the mitzvah of the Torah. What do you mean based on Svar? What right does a human being have to use Svar to explain what the mitzvahs are? How can you use based on Svar? The Mor discusses, the Mor has a language to the point, the Mor says, how do you know the rule of mitzvah of the Barai? Mitzvah of the Barai is the foundation of all, large part of the Dinimomenus. Possession is 9/10 of the law, right? So we don't say it exactly like that, but Mor says, how do you know this? So the Mor brings a pasuk. Yishalm actually remains with the pasuk. The Bible says, "Kralam ali swaro," not a pasuk, it's swaro. This is a mind-boggling statement. It means so the Ramchal, he has a sefer called Derech Eitz Chaim, which he wrote as an introduction to the Rizal's Eitz Chaim. The Rizal's Eitz Chaim is the primary work we have. From the Re about Kabbalah, it's actually written by his Talmud of Chaim Vital, but it's, you know, what his Rebbe said. So the Ramchal wrote an introduction to Eitz Chaim called Derech Eitz Chaim. That's a Gishmaka name for the introduction. So he writes a fascinating thing. He says that Be'etzim the Rishon made, we have mitzvah to learn Torah, and the Rishon is not playing games, right? So. The most logical thing in the world should be that if the Baruch Hashem gave us a mitzvah to learn Torah, means the Baruch Hashem gave us the kelim to do that. So he gave us a mind which fits to the Torah. I once had this conversation with a fellow who was, he wasn't from yet, you know, he was a person, a thinker, and, you know, he's saying, like, I don't know what I need Torah for, like, a lot of the ideas that I read over there, you know, I can figure them out myself. They make a lot of sense. So I said to him two answers. Now, first of all, the reason it makes sense to you is because you were raised in a society where these ideas, these morals, etc., have been accepted as being true. Where did that come from? You might go to some place in the deep African, you know, the subcontinent over there, where they never heard of that, they never were heard of Torah, etc. They don't think that these things are logical. So, but just leaving that aside, right? It doesn't make sense to you that they should be logical to you. Of course, they should be logical to you. If the Baruch Hashem created you and he gave the Torah to direct you. So he didn't give it to someone which is going to be illogical to you.
That's interesting.
So the Ramchal says, "Be'etzem, learning Torah should be the most natural thing in the world." So when we don't understand something, we have to explain why not. Why? What does it mean when you learn a piece of Torah you don't understand it? See, he gets involved Kabbalistically. There's a concept called klipas, which are preventing you understanding it. And when you toil through something, you're breaking through the klipas. Right, but that's how he goes over there. But that step of the thought process, that be'etzem, we should be absorbing Torah easily. Because the Russian made our minds perfectly fit to understand the words of Torah. Because that was his goal for the Bria. So he made it like that. It's illogical that he should make it any other way. So that's what Hirsch is saying. It's not like, you know, these things are not understandable to us. They're very understandable to us. So he took it to the point of, you know, trying to find a way that in our human logic we can relate to them. Right? But there's a certain amount of instinct. We sort of like instinctively say, you know, this makes sense. Sometimes we need to put in, you put a little twist on it. Like, you never thought of it that way. So, oh, yeah, now I get it. I got it. Makes sense. I remember I told you the person's word by Baltashkes, right? So he said that the issue of Baltashkes is not just don't wantonly destroy. That means the message over here is don't be a destructive person. The message is you're not the owner to destroy something. Only the owner can destroy something. Yeah, I can read it and say, yeah, Baltashkes, don't destroy the wood, don't be destructive. So I have it less. No, there's a whole other layer there. But it's not illogical. Once you hear it, say, yeah, I get that. So maybe we didn't necessarily see it from that angle to start with, but once we hear it, we get it, which means that our minds are geared to understanding Torah. So that's how Rav Hirsch says it. There is a piece of Meshech Chacham over here, which we're not going to be able to do all of it. I'm going to read it. I have a larger version. It's 4 pages long, and I can get through all of it. Okay, Kimi Tzayis Lanifis Himim Chavala Rechakehi Ki Harba Lachad Rambam Shechem Bavav Chalasos. Page 534. Okay. We look on top of page 527. Habir Musko. The explanation over here is something which is very logical. The Russian created everything in his divine wisdom, which was this limitless wisdom. And we know the Russian made a world that that which is more necessary is more available, more accessible. Air is always available. Why? Because we need it. That's the most primal need that we have. Water, which is not as necessary as air. But you need a little bit of effort to get it. You can live without it for even longer. The Gemara says one place that he says maybe Shvizayin Yomim in the bottom. A person can live without food for a while. So then it's not as available. So Sarach Amol Yoser, you need more work. V'Hamoyin Shelter Shehu Yoser Bulti Achrechi. So it's not as a person can live a significant amount without shelter, so that's even more work. Okay, so the first stage of the thought process over here is that this is so far we're without tying it back to Torah mitzvahs, right? Standard understanding of the world. Now, Rak, Rashi Yavi Sa'odam, Dartre, it's personal as possible to make his approach confused. A person can indulge himself for things which are not necessary. You can train yourself to the point that this becomes you necessary. But the problem is, since it's not objectively necessary, it's not as available. So I can train myself that I'm so used to having these type of indulgences that for me they're necessary. So why, if it's necessary, why does it need so much work? Right? Because the rule was the more necessary it is, the answer is because it's not really necessary, but you made it necessary. That you're going to have to pay for. Right? That's going to be difficult. And that's the Gemara which says, by acting improperly, I made my pranasa difficult. What's that which I did improperly? If you would not have desire for this extra amount, what you would need would be much easier to get. Okay. Cain. Nosen loy hasheris vavodim nemonim b'chol tzorach. The Bereshit gave us the reliable kelim to get what we need. What is that? Hema muchashim asher ba'ayin yira or oizen yishama. The Bereshit gave us kelim which really help us do what we got to do. We have eyes, we have ears, etc. Vehema avodim nemonim b'chol poloi. And the same way, the Bereshit set up the Bria that really what's available is easily available and what's not, unless you mess it up. So the human being should be like that as well. So, but if a person, again, if he indulges, so you're not going to have the same ability to see and to taste. The same way the Bereshit says, Mitzad, the Bria, or theoretically, if I would not come along and mess anything up, the flavor that I would get in that easy light bread would bring the message to me that this is what's important. The Bereshit made me fit my reality. So he made me not just, but he gave me through the ability to see and to hear and to taste. He gave me the ability to relate to the reality in the right way. So otherwise you'd have this, the reality is, what's really important is just basic bread. But basic bread, my body reacts to it and says, it looks bad, it smells bad, it tastes bad. Right? That'd be, so then the Bereshit didn't make it, he didn't make us right. The Bereshit should make it that the natural reaction of the human being when he's in his correct state should be that air is very geschmack because it's very important, and bread is also, you know, not as geschmack, but, you know, it's also, you know, right? And the basic things should really, you know, we should come in the morning and say, wow, air. That's what we should say. I feel it, I smell it, it feels so good to me, air. Water, like, wow, right? Because that would be the logical thing. All right, so what happened? The same way the person can mess up his understanding of what's a hekrek or not hekrek, he can also mess up his taste buds and his eyesight and his nose. Okay. Kein boraloi, asher yargish boraloi, menosin lo hergish ratanua. The Bereshit created that we have pain. We understand when something is bad, and we distance ourselves from it. The Bereshit gave us the ability to feel and to move. Therefore, v'chemi miskolos amidus, asher hema atzimir tzuras adam, nosin lo hergish, but yos adam harlich mishor mal yakim rechusav. The Bereshit gave us a logical mind, because that's so, that if that's if it's necessary to have air, it's necessary to have a mind which can see right and wrong. Because that's what, that's, a, if I have a mind which thinks that, you know, what's dangerous is not dangerous, that's not, the person didn't set up the bria correctly. So I know, I get that this is good, this is bad, you know, these things you stay away from, these things you connect, etc. Then, when it comes to midos, people appreciate, want justice. We shouldn't damage somebody else. We relate to these things as given universal principles, appropriate principles. Where did it come from? Terrorist is Russia made it like that. Hamas, Gazel, Raya, Seishazish, etc. Kasher Yusir Mehodim, Kol Taiba, then Arera Sikhla Ragashasi, Osim Sechokibo, Harkokas, Oval of Abbas, Taiba Mail. If we remove all of the Taiba, etc., which overrides, the natural state of being would be that we seek with a clarity right and wrong, etc. And that's what Chen Kasher Yomas Adam, Yeshar Nefesh, Beloy Kayach, Taiba. That which prevented the summer from seeing correctly because the goof had become indulged and interested and sunken in the world of etc. Once you take that away, immediately the summer says, wow, what am I doing? Like, well, what's going on over here? All the nefesh ba'atzim regeshes ha'ovo b'chomas haloi tzedek asheros. It recognized immediately what it did wrong. Where do you see this? Forget about after the person dies. A Russia does it, a person does something wrong. Right away he says, he has charatim. What happened? Because while he was in the heat of the moment, the taiva, he didn't see straight. Once you take away the taiva, he sees straight and says, what did I do? Right? So you see that we have a natural instinct to see clearly what's right and what's wrong. That's because I'll say, Rishar Malayim Charata. Ki Kasha Yavar Ha'orev, once you take away the sweetness, Nafshay is Toya, his Nafish wonders. But, Raka Shetamin Mitoysa Velov Yitzhara Lalech Negad Chukhe Hatzedek, regardless of Emes Bavavavu. The Yitzhara adds it again and again and again until the point where the person's confused. He doesn't see clearly what's right and what's wrong. But the natural state of being, we like that. So you see where he's going already. We can read the whole piece, but right. The Russian is saying, "If we would be on the right path, the Torah would be the most logical thing in the world." And if it isn't, it's not the Russian's fault. It's we create a confusion in our minds. Right. I shared a conversation. Somebody told me, like, the person is works in the secular world. He's successful in the secular world, and Sherman Tarmitz's, and so his colleagues, like, asked him, like, you know, why would this person who's like so smart, like, you know, so enlightened, you know, be involved with Tarmitz's like you are. I'm sure they said it in a more, you know, in a less gentle way. right? So he said back to the person, he says, I live in a great place. You know, you're living in a world where the human mind has to decide right and wrong. How do you know that you're right? Maybe there's something misleading you. But you do know deep down there's some right and wrong is important. So you're living your whole life with a question mark. You have no idea what right and wrong really is. You might commit your whole life to something and one day wake up and say, you know what? Got it all wrong. So what the answer is, you're scared of that. So you scream at everybody else who says other than you. That's why you don't have to worry about it. But the reason why you scream is because deep down, you're not convinced.
You know,
Right. But I know that there's a creator, who told me right or wrong. So I'm a much happier person than you were. I'm safe. I just follow the rules. I'm good. Right? But if once you take out a creator out of the picture and you say human beings are supposed to figure out right or wrong, so if you want to say, you know what, the world has no purpose, there's no right, there's no wrong, do whatever you want. Hedonistic approach, you know, nihilistic approach. Is it? Okay, fine. But that's not true. Human beings don't live like that. When you do something which is wrong, it bothers you. Why does it bother you? There's no right and there's no wrong. Like, everything is equal. Who cares? Tesh says, you know instinctively there's something wrong. Tesh says, but you want to know what? So how do you know? How can you decide? But what the Meshechokhma's point is a step beyond that. He says, we know instinctively there's a concept of right and wrong. We would instinctively know what really the Rosh Hashanah made our minds fit until we mess it up. So we live in a reality, we live in a society, we live in a world, but a lot is confused. Because the more you do it, the more you get confused. I'll give you a very crude muscle. You know, a lot of studies do, like, you know, you ask the average 5-year-old child, you know, are you able to draw? They say yes. Right? Okay, so draw something for me. They draw this, you know, this picture looks like a 5-year-old drawing. But they said yes. Right? The person, you ask a 20-year-old, are you able to draw? Except for a person who's been trained or has natural talent, will say no. Right? Who's right? Is the 5-year-old right or the 20-year-old right? And so you have to define what their draw means. Right? There's different definitions. So the 5-year-old's definition of draw means I can put something on a piece of paper which theoretically, you know, myself and maybe the few people around me understand what it's supposed to mean. Right? 20-year-old has a different definition. Who said the 20-year-old's definition of drawing is better than the 5-year-old's? No, nobody. We have no way to know which is the better definition. Right? The answer is because, since most people decide this is what drawing means, therefore, in 20-year-olds, most people cannot draw because the definition that people have set. Maybe the people who set that all have a goal in mind to make a lot of money. So they say, listen, drawing means like this, you know. I mean, you see it, I don't know, modern art, like, you know, people pay a lot of money for modern art. Like, you ask some people, like, Mehecha teitza, that's art. But Tara's like, we convince you that that's called art. Right. It's called that personal clothes. So the same way, there's a lot of confusion in the world. So there's a lot of confusion when it comes to the world. But the pasuk is saying that that's not true. So it's mamash available. Because the Meshach Abba says, because it's illogical, the Rosh Hashanah made a Bria in such a way that the human mind does not instinctively grasp right and wrong. It doesn't. Teretz is, like the Gemara says, that I did Averas, Heroisi Maisa, I would keep out the better Sosi. Same way that Schumer comes to the accessibility of what's necessary in life, it's true when it comes to the world of understanding the Bria. It's a fascinating thought process. That but every once in a while it bursts forth. That's the more similar Shremalim Charata. Like after they convince themselves, and after the society convinces themselves, and they're used to it, etc. One day they wake up and say, like, huh? And what I'm suggesting is that moment of that huh is the moment of when we're connecting back to our, the Rosh Hashanah made us that, the Sefer from the Chazon Ish, left the sentence hanging, I'll go back and finish the sentence in a second. The Sefer from the Chazon Ish, which it says in Obvious that the Chol Yerim, there's a Baskel which comes out from Har Sinai, and it says, Oy Lohem Lebriyas Mibon Hashal Torah. woe is to the creation that they are insulting the Torah. So the Chazir said, like, what's a baskal has a function, has a purpose. What's the purpose of this baskal? Like, nobody hears it. It's like, so what does it do? It says, we do. When a person has a moment where he has to hear a shuva, out of nowhere, it says, his neshama is hearing the baskal. That's what's happening. I mean, there's a message in the Bria, there's an underlying message in the Bria, put in the Bria, that this is not acceptable. Every once in a while, we get that. So the analogy would be to the radio message, which is being sent out, and when you tune it to the right frequency, you pick up the message. So that moment, you're on the right frequency. You're hearing correctly. You're seeing correctly. Chazir also said that he says before a child is born, there's a baskal which comes out and says that the best plane of the planet. Yeah. That the Russian, there's a decree, there's a baskal which comes out that so and so will marry so and so. He says, what's that about? He says, again, it's the same thing. You'll have, you know, a couple meeting, you know, and at some point, you know, they have this feeling that this is the right one. That might be they're hearing the baskal. And Rishama is saying, this makes sense, you know. So I mean, he goes. This is four pages of this, but you know, he knows this thought. It's a beautiful thing. So go to page 536, and just read one part of it. So on the left column, the beginning of the paragraph on the bottom. When you totally redo yourself. When you misrachek from taiva and dimin because of this false, you know, understanding. You'll hear that voice inside of you. What Kol Hashem are you hearing? You're in the Kol Hashem which reverberates inside of your being. When you can vishav and remove these distractions, you'll hear that sound. There's a voice which your ears should be hearing, which is reverberating inside of you. Keep the mitzvahs. It's there, it's there in your heart, it's there in your mouth. It's even the he brings the medrash to support that, and that's the end of the thought. Okay, so we have the Ron's approach, and then we have Rashi's approach. What's referring to Chuma is referring to Torah, but you know each one that brings with it a beautiful. The next sukkim where the Torah is expanding on the idea, that message that tshuva is there and it's totally accessible inside of our being. We will be guaranteed that if we want to know the emes, we will find it. And inside of our being, the Rosh made us that our inclinations for Torah mitzvahs and understanding the Torah, connecting to the Torah, connecting to the mitzvahs, is there intrinsically inside of ourselves. We've covered it over. We made it inaccessible. And then that's the overlap between the two pshatim. Okay.